Great big thanks, Bo. Those blessing boxes are an incredible opportunity. Really excited about what God will do through those and through your connections with people as a result. Just want to remind you as well that for this series, we have an exploration guide that you can journey along with. If you're here in person today, copies are available out at the info station. We invite you to grab one if you haven't already. And if you're joining with us online, they're available there as well online. When I was a junior in high school, I played on our high school's basketball team. Now, some of you may find that hard to believe. Trust me, we weren't very good as a team. We really weren't, as evidenced by the fact that I was allowed to play on the team. But we went up against, in the middle of our season, that junior year of high school for me, we went up against our arch rival. There was this team in the area that we, over the seasons, had been like, you know, up against. They just kind of stood out. There was that extra oof about that team. We went back and forth. Sometimes we won, sometimes they won. It felt more often like they dominated us and they won. So here we were, this game, we're up against our arch rival. And we had already played them once in the year, and they had beaten us, so we came extra thirsty, extra hungry, extra out for basketball blood. I mean, we were into it. We were ready to go. And sure enough, the first couple of quarters of the basketball game, we were losing. I mean, they just kept collapsing on us, surrounding us. Their defense was amazing. Their offense was stunning. They were putting up points. I had scored all of one basket, which I sort of felt a little good about because I didn't often score a lot, but I had scored once, and that was dismal on the grand scheme of how we might defeat this arch rival. They kept surrounding us and attacking us, and it felt vicious, and so we took the break halfway through, a couple quarters in. We took the break, and our coach got us aside, and he's trying to fire us up, and he's trying to give us the big pep talk and all that. And honestly, it was one of those rare moments where it worked. And we came out into the third quarter, and it was whoa! And then all of a sudden, we started chipping away and working our way back, and we scored some more points. I actually scored a couple more baskets. It was a miracle. And we were like on our way, and it was back and forth. And at points, we were surrounding them, swarming on them, and at points, they were surrounding us and swarming on us. And it was one of those games with an arch rival where it came all the way down to the buzzer. And aren't those the best kind of games? All the way down to the buzzer, and we won. Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. We won. It was incredible. We went crazy. We were hooting and hollering. I mean, it was such an incredible victory. And honestly, for the years to come, after that game, when we would get back together, the crew of us who played on that team that year, we would get back together for alumni events, and we would still talk about that game as if it was like state finals or something, and it wasn't, but we would still talk about that game. My brother-in-law and I, who, we were good friends in high school back then, and he played on that in that game as well, and we still to this day, at times, if we're reflecting on our great big basketball careers that we had, we'll reflect and we'll celebrate about that game. There's some of that very spirit in Psalm 118. Some of that very spirit. So I invite you to join me there. We started it last week. I want you to walk today with four words. Walk this morning and into the coming week with these four words. Will you say them with me? Let's say them together. Intentional reflection, salvation celebration. One more time. Let's say it. Intentional reflection, salvation celebration. Four words I invite you to walk with into this week. It's what's happening big time right here in Psalm 118, especially our section this morning, verses 10 through 18. Verses 10 through 18 this morning. So last week, we noted the frame of the psalm. Fascinating frame. Verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his faithful love endures forever. Final verse of the psalm, the other piece of the frame, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his faithful love endures forever. Very deliberate framing, very deliberate, very intentional. This call to reframe all of life. And we need that. We need that right now, more than ever, right? Because life can feel dismal and it can feel utterly frustrating and it can feel like we're being swarmed and surrounded. It feels like the enemies are out to get us. All of life can feel that way right now. And it's not just our feelings. We know it. We know it over and over again. It's true. Those threats are real. We feel it, we see it, and it's validated over and over and over again. The opening 9 verses laid the groundwork. We saw them together last week. We caught a call to give thanks to the Lord. And that call to give thanks to the Lord is based on his character, who he is, and what he does. Very specifically, he's good. He's good, and it's not a trivial goodness. No, it's a simple word, yet wonderfully multifaceted and beautiful. God is our wondrously good creator. God is our wondrously great savior. His foundational goodness, his leading character quality, is his faithful, loyal love. That won't stop. Can't quit, doesn't run out. He answers, he moves, he works, he keeps on keeping on, he keeps on holding on, he keeps lavishly loving us, even when it doesn't feel like it, even when it doesn't seem like it. His love is that strong. So even though we know distress, we call out to him and he answers. And puts us, we saw it last week, he puts us in an open space. Whereas we felt cramped and confined and closed in on, he moves us out. When we call on him, he moves us out into an open space. And he works in both our circumstances and our psyche, your soul, in order to accomplish his faithful, loving work. So we take refuge in him. And we run to him as our refuge. And we learn to trust in him. Now, I invite you to listen, and you can look on if you want to on your copy, but verses 10 through 18, let's listen and or look on and just soak it up. Psalm 118 and verse 10. All the peoples, all the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. They swarmed around me like bees, but they were consumed as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them down. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die, but live. And will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Verses 10 through 13 supply more of this vibe on feeling pressed into a tight, small, squeezed place. Big repetition, right? Psalms often do that. It's so helpful. Menacing, violent enemies surrounded him. It's like the arch enemy, the rival ball team out on the court dominating, but much worse. You gotta love the imagery. Like swarm of bees. Forget about murder hornets, right? The mere mention of bees has some of you squirming right now. Right, so you're out in the yard, and what happens if something, we've just won, but what if it's a couple, our neighbor, right up the road from us, next house up, he has this ongoing infestation of those bees that are they're like those cicada killers. Anybody seen these? Those ugliest things, right? They And so we'll go walking the dog, and we have to go over to the other side of the road to avoid the cicada killers. And our neighbor, bless Joe's heart, he has tried again and again. He's had every exterminator out imaginable. After the 9 o'clock service, people were lovingly giving us advice about what to go over and pour down the bee holes. I mean, it's just crazy. What? You get swarmed with bees. I remember as a kid, my little sister one time, she was wearing one of these little perfume pendant things, and bees came after her, and she got stung, and I thought it was hysterical because she's screaming, and then it wasn't so hysterical because I got in trouble with my mommy, and it wasn't so great that I laughed at my sister for getting stung by a bee. What happens? Bees are pesky, and they swarm, and they attack, both physically. We can know how this works. We know how this works both physically and emotionally, spiritually. There are things that swarm and surround us, things like anxiety. And wow, right now, more than ever, some of us are swarmed and surrounded by anxiety, and understandably so. For some of us, it's our past that seems to come swarming and surrounding us. It could be your present heartaches and fears and setbacks. A ring of foes surround you, furious hostility. And by the way, such hostility is age old. There's another psalm, Psalm 2, that describes this ongoing clash between the nations and the kings of the nations and King Jesus, the Lord, the Son of God. That ongoing hostility. Ring of foes. Ring of foes around you. And we know what this feels like personally, but even as you read and you hear these words, you even feel more surrounded, pressed, and attacked by the repetition of the words. God's word often works that way, very deliberately. If we dare to settle in and slow down and listen and watch what's happening. But that's only one side of it. That's only one side of it. If we stopped there, we'd be left in despair. That's only one side of it. There's more to be repeated, right? He intentionally reflects again and again on how he pushed them back. He fought them off. He swiped them away. How? In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Did you catch that repeated? In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Now, it's important to understand, yes, it's sweet to speak the name of the Lord. And there are a catalog of names for the Lord God. It is so sweet to speak of Emmanuel. It is so sweet to speak of Adonai. It is so sweet to speak of Yahweh, our ever-present covenant-keeping God. It's so sweet to say his name, but this is not incantation. This is not incantation. This is his character. The name of the Lord is his character. How powerful, how strong, how true, how mighty, how loving, how just, how kind, how faithful to his promises, how powerful he is to deliver on those promises. His very character. It's his credibility. It's his reputation out there. It's his character. His name is his very character. Verse 13. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. But the Lord helped me. He came rushing in to assist and overcome the enemy. What's happening? Intentional reflection. And salvation celebration. Intentional reflection and salvation celebration. Verse 14 very deliberately describes the effect. This actually starts to echo Moses' victory song in Exodus 15 after they cut through the Red Sea, after the deliverance out of Egypt, and the Passover. Words here echo it. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. It's words grabbed from that Exodus 15 song. and used right here. My strength, my song, my salvation, and Yeshua is the word. Yeshua is the word. Super intriguing. It's Arabic. This word right here, salvation, Yeshua, its Arabic roots convey the idea of making something wide, moving into spacious territory so you can live in genuine abundance. Making something wide, moving into open territory so that you can live in genuine abundance. It's an idea we saw together last week. In Hebrew meaning, it's liberation. We sang about it earlier. It's freedom. It's the gift of victory. Now, of course, all of this matches with the original style and the intention of this psalm. The capstone of this section of Psalm 113 through Psalm 118, known as the Egyptian Hallel, the Egyptian Praise the Lord. We made it out of the Passover. We made it across the Red Sea Road. It's this great celebration. It's the capstone song coming out of Egypt at the Passover. And so it gets vocalized by successive generations, chanted, sung on the way to the festival, sung through the gates of Jerusalem as God's people head in. Successive generations keep singing it. So just try to imagine. Just try to imagine. Put yourself in the Israelites, worn thin sandals, over 400 years of exile, a laborious slavery to the Pharaohs, grueling labor and sweat, economic and religious oppression, including infanticide and bondage. They had known all of that and more, but then, Yeshua, the Passover happens, the Savior arrives, deliverance happens, and you're led out into wide open territory. The Lord saved. The Lord saves, and the future generations can't help but do intentional reflection and salvation celebration. Such saving work fills God's people with joy. Did you catch the joy word? Oh, they're filled with joy. We are filled with joy. Have you slowed down lately to reflect and celebrate? Amidst all that's blowing, amidst all that's pounding, against all of the swarming and the attacks, have you slowed down lately to actually reflect and celebrate? See, this really sneaky, dangerous thing can happen to me. Happens to me. Happens to you. Happens to us. We get dulled, blurry. Blurry vision, ho-hum, and we take God's saving work, his loving work on the cross and his triumph over the grave, his victory, we start to take it for granted. And when we get dulled like that and blurry and we take it for granted, it actually blocks the way for gratitude and blessing. It blocks the blessing. We take life for granted instead of with gratitude and praise. G.K. Chesterton famously said, when it comes to life, the critical thing is whether you take things for granted or take them with gratitude. How about you? What's going on in your heart, in your vision right now during this season? Are you taking things for granted or with gratitude? I think it starts with everyday things, like a crisp morning walk under the stars, actually looking up and going, wow, God, savoring the coffee, turning off the radio as you're driving in the car to actually converse with the person in the seat next to you. And then, such intentional reflection and celebration can move into those even bigger and deeper and wider places, like grace and mercy and justice and peace that he pours upon our hearts. But it takes intentional reflection. It could be that you might be helped by actually, in a good way, using this thing you carry around in your pocket and put in your hand all the time. What would it be like to actually go to your pictures album and actually go back and reflect? Not just to laugh about some goofy old moment. That's fun to do. Not just to look back and go, oh my goodness, look what you looked like. But to actually instead slow down and reflect and say, thank you, God, for that person. Thank you for that situation. Thank you, God. Consider this. Watch this little clip. Take a look. Are you taking things for granted or taking them with gratitude? Verses 15 and 16 spotlight more of the source with vivid imagery. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. And then here's what one of those glad songs sounds like. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Sounds of joy. Great victory. Hear the hooting and the hollering. Woo! In the tents of the righteous. Hear it after they walked the Red Sea Road. Join in with the celebrating. Can you see and hear the future generations visiting Jerusalem for festival, headed to the gates? The joyous laughter, the reflecting and the celebrating salvation, Yeshua. And we see more about how such saving work happens. Did you catch the repetition? The Lord's strong right hand. The Lord's strong right hand. Some scholars have noted how in Hebrew, the Hebrew way of thinking, for the Hebrews, your hand was all of this. Your forearm up to the tips of your fingers. All of that was considered your hand. So what's the biggie? Well, you accomplish things with your hands, right? So if you did a house project recently, you know how essential your hands are in the process. If you have baked up or you'll bake up a storm in the kitchen in coming weeks, you know how essential hands in on it are. Oh, that makes it essential, right? If you've cleaned up endless leaves in your yard, you know the power of your hands. And right here, it's symbolic, beautifully symbolic, of the Lord's strength. The Lord's strong right hand is considered dominant and the agent of power and strength and victorious salvation. It's in his right hand. And by the way, don't forget, it's a really good season to remember his hands faithfully hold you. His hands faithfully hold you. It's the stuff of John chapter 10. No snatching out of his hand. You're safe right there. He's got you. He's got this. You're safe in his hands. No snatching. And listen to verses 17 and 18. Here's such hope. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Such hope, instead of death, the psalmist sees such distress as actually fatherly discipline, testing, strengthening him to learn greater tenacity. Yes, it's felt pressurized and sincerely pushed and pressed and severe, even, yes, the real threat of death. But that's not the whole story. That's not the whole story. There's correction, and such correction, such discipline, such training in godliness has served to strengthen, refine him, and help him know even greater gratitude. So, did you catch it? So he can tell of the works of the Lord. His praise can be louder. His declaration of the good news, the gospel, can be bigger and bolder and more genuine and softer and down to earth with others right there. It's wonderfully divine purpose in such hard circumstances. When's the last time you thought about right now in this season we're all experiencing as something God in his love can use and is using? There's wonderfully divine purpose in such hard circumstances. Intentional reflection, salvation celebration allows us to access that, allows us to recall and remember. And don't miss the marvelous reality that such intentional reflection and salvation celebration have Jesus at the core, Yeshua. Yeshua, Jesus. The Lord saves is his name, Jesus. Acts 4:12 and Philippians 2 declare, no other name under heaven among people capable of saving us, Yeshua. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Our Savior, our Deliverer. Are you trusting him for your salvation? Are you trusting him? Are you trusting his mighty hand to deliver you and guide you and guard you and hold you? Are you trusting him for the forgiveness of your sins and for a new way to view and do all of life in his kingdom? It's a wonderful, wonderful way to live. Not an easy way to live. No, you still feel it all the hard-pressed, all the tough places, you feel it all, but he walks with you, and he holds on to you, and he strengthens you. Are you trusting him? Have you dared lately to think about your own bee-like distress, the swarms, the surrounding you, your big and small trials, your threats from enemies, either physical or emotional, spiritual? As all part of God's good, sovereign, loving plans. What if those times we feel utterly surrounded and pressed and stressed and stretched and overwhelmed? What if those times were up against the archenemy team? What if those times were actually held and hemmed in and strengthened by the victorious love of our sovereign, saving Father? In prep for 2 weeks from now, the 29th, I want to invite you to take, these are scattered on the seats around you, or if you're online with us, if you're joining in online with us right now, there's a digital version of this. We got turkeys. They're not the eating kind. They're the kind you are encouraged to stuff with words of thanks and praise. And they'll be available again next week and the next. And I want to encourage you, start stuffing your turkey with words of praise and thanks, and bring this with you on the 29th. Or if you're joining us online on the 29th, have yours ready. Print it out, start to write in, stuff it with thanks, and get ready. We're all going to have the opportunity with open mics and open chat online to share words of thanks, words of praise. Perhaps Philippians 4, 4 through 9 helps you. So I want to invite you to just close your eyes. As the team comes back to lead us in a closing song, I want to invite you to go ahead and stand. Go ahead and stand your feet. Go ahead and stand. And I want to invite you to just close your eyes and let these words from St. Paul in Philippians 4, words he penned while he was imprisoned. Listen to what he says, and let the secret sauce present right here grab your soul and bring to you his peace. I invite you to close your eyes and just listen. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, there's the secret sauce. With thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. O precious Savior, precious Deliverer, strengthen our hearts. Oh, please, Lord God, strengthen our hearts with that secret sauce of your gratitude. and bring to us your incredible peace. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.